Hello. You've tuned in to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. We're pleased to have you join us for this week's program. Have you heard the saying, "He's so heavenly focused, he's of no earthly good"? If we took the advice of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament book of Colossians, we'd be more heavenly minded and of greater earthly good. Tonight, Dr. Corbett presents the second in a three-part discussion on developing a spiritual mind. And I promise you, irrespective of the length of your journey with God to date, you're about to have your socks challenged right off. Find an easy chair and let's join Dr. Corbett now for another inspirational message on developing a spiritual mind.
Father, open our eyes to see the wonders of your word. Lord, your word says that the deeds, the works of God are studied by all who love the Lord. And so, Father, tonight we want to study your ways. We want to be a people that align ourselves with your word and live in the spirit of your word. So, Father, help us. Help us to hear. Help us to digest and help us to become the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to build on the previous session where we were looking at developing a spiritual mind, And as we did that, and we looked at the first 11 verses of Colossians chapter 3, we asked the question, based on this text, do you have a heavenly or an earthly mind? One is thinking the thoughts of God in alignment with his word, and the other one is thinking what is right for you, what is right to you. That's being earthly minded, and that means you end up being earthly minded means that you end up justifying whatever you want to do. And the list that Paul gives in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 includes things that people can justify. They can justify it with their mind, and it means that they are thinking in an earthly way. And the list includes sexual immorality, impurity, and nearly always when Scripture uses the term unclean, a spirit of uncleanness or impurity, it's referring to some kind of sexual deviancy. Passion, which is not passion in the sense of being excited, it's in the sense of unjustified, unreasonable lust. You're wanting very much something that you're not supposed to have. And evil desire, covetousness, which interestingly Paul says is idolatry. Your translation may have the word greed or greediness there. And it says in verse 6, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. But being heavenly minded means that we're being transformed. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 talks about being renewed in our thinking, being changed in the way we think. And as we change the way we think, we begin to live differently. And we see in verse 7, and I call this a redemptive verse. Redemption means that you were over there, but you've been bought and placed over here. You've been redeemed. A redemptive verse. It means something of hope has entered into your life. Something of change has taken place. And it says in verse 8, verse 7, in these you two once walked. So the implication is you don't walk that way anymore. You now live differently. You are different. Praise God. You're not like that anymore. You ever had somebody come along and try and put you into their box? You know, someone comes along and says, yeah, well, that's because you're a phlegmatic. Now, the first time I ever heard that, I thought they had a sort of touch of the flu or something. You know, I still really don't know what a phlegmatic is. It conjures up some fairly mucus coughing in my mind. But people want to put you in these boxes. But you may have known me a year or two ago, and whatever box you built to put me into then, you need to throw that box away, because I'm changing, you're changing, in you know, someone who comes to this church a year ago will come today and go, wow, you've changed. There was a sweet spirit in the house a year ago. Boy, it's really sweet now. It's really nice now. And in 2 years, 5 years' time, hopefully, we will all look back on these days with fondness and go, we've changed, we've grown, we've become more Christ-like, we've become more patient. Because I'm not. I can barely say the word, as you've discovered. So, we've changed. So being heavenly-minded means that we're open to change. I told you in our last session the story that illustrates the difference between being heavenly-minded and earthly-minded. In Acts chapter 27, about verse 9 or 10, we have the story where Paul is in chains and manacles and he's being escorted by a centurion to go to Rome because he's appealed to Caesar. He's been imprisoned in Asia Minor, where he actually wrote to the Colossians. So what we're reading is during that imprisonment. What we're going to read in just a moment out of 2 Timothy was when he actually ended up in Rome. And before they set off, it had been, it says, inclement weather, but then there was a break in the weather, seemingly a break in the weather. And the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship said, we've got cargo to get through, we've got passengers, paying passengers to get through, let's get this thing on the road, or as the case may be, the open waters. And Paul says to the centurion, Acts 27, verse 10 or 11, whatever it is, I perceive, powerful word, I perceive that danger awaits us. Verse 10, Acts 27, verse 10. I perceive that danger, that this voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Now, here we have the centurion who's got the final say, as the Roman army tended to have in those days, to listen to the captain of the ship, the owner of the ship, trained seamen, nautical men. They knew the weather, they knew the ocean. They knew what sailing was all about. They said it was okay to head off. Here you've got this bloke who's not nautically trained. He's not a seaman. He is saying, I really perceive this would not be good. Now, you can imagine the centurion thinking, you're just thinking that because you're thinking if you get to Rome and lose your case, you'll die. And I guess if the centurion thought about why these guys were so keen to head off, the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship, well, you've got cargo, and if you don't go, your opinion's tainted by your lack of income. But my posthumous mentor, F.W. Borum, says of this little story, the world would be a better place if we listened more to the revelation in our heart than sea captains. Because, of course, they set off, and sure enough, exactly what Paul perceived did happen. And sometimes we are much better off listening to those small, still voices, those things that we get. I'm not trying to justify being silly about the way we live, but I am saying there is a way of thinking that is heavenly. There is a way of thinking that doesn't make a lot of sense to the world, but it's biblical. Now, Jesus said something similar to this in John 14, 26, when he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will comfort you, he will help you, and he will teach you things that you need to know. So the Holy Spirit can speak into our lives heavenly thoughts. Heavenly thoughts, and we need that. We need that intimacy with God. We need to be familiar with the language of God, which means we need to become very aware, very familiar with the language of God's word. And there is a battle for our mind, and it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that the strongholds of the enemy are established in our mind. And we need to cast down every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against heavenly thoughts. So that means we need to know God's word so that when contrary thoughts come into our head, earthly thoughts, we can go, no, that's not right. I don't look at my circumstances. I look at my walk with Christ by faith. I walk by faith, not by sight. And the scripture says, you know, and it came to pass. And that's the truth of trials and difficulties that we face in life. They come to pass. And as somebody said, if you can think back 10 years ago, what was the most difficult thing you had to face? Most of us would probably struggle, especially if you're 10. And it just shows that in life, the things that we're caught up with in the moment, in the perspective of our life, become insignificant. I remember being, it's a stretch, but I remember being a teenager. And I remember thinking at times, this is too hard. Life is just too hard. But I had this, I was recently baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I just kept getting this niggling thing in the Holy Spirit. Just hang on, just keep going, just keep going. Just keep going, one foot in front of the other, keep going. Praise God. So we need to renew our minds, and I want to look at what we concluded and apply it to this different section tonight as we look at this next section of God's Word. I want to pick it up from verse 12 in looking at this issue of renewing our minds. It says then, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Well, let's just pause there for a moment. Think of yourself on your veranda, wherever your veranda might be, looking out over whatever you're going to look out over your veranda. For some, it'll be the neighbour's brick wall. For others, it might be something of value that's more valuable than a brick wall. And you're there in your rocking chair, and you're in your final weeks of life. And you're on your rocking chair. And you're reflecting on how your life has changed, how you've changed. What words would you use to describe the kind of person you are now? What words would you use to describe? You know, I think if we asked people, what's your goal? Not what are your goals, but what's your goal? What are you going to be like? I think most people would, you know, especially blokes, they'd probably use words like successful, aggressive, determined. All these really strong words. And I doubt that anybody would have a list that read just like these two verses that we just read. What kind of person will you be at the end of your life? Look at these words. If you don't know what your purpose is in life, if you don't know what your goals should be in life, can I offer the wisdom of Paul the Apostle and give these to you? Make these your goal in life. Make compassion your goal in life. What does it mean to be compassionate? Whatever it means, we're told that's what we're to be like. Compassionate. Showing care for someone. Kindness. Being kind to someone. My friend, who I'm planning on inviting over to minister to us in a few months, Celesi. His name's Celesi. Lovely guy. One of the most Christ-like men I've ever met in my life. Celesi is a Pacific Islander. And recently, a pastor's son died, a pastor in the area, his son died. And Celesi went to the funeral, and he was surprised, not being Australian, not being familiar with our culture, he was surprised at the fact that people gave flowers. They just brought flowers and put them on the coffin. And his question was, what good does that do? And the response was, well, that's just our culture. That's just what we do. We just bring flowers and we put them against the coffin. We just put them then. And he said, but how does that help anyone? And so he was telling me this, because he said that he mentioned this. And I said, well, Celeste, what do you do in your culture? He said, we don't put flowers on a coffin or in a grave. We give those that are left behind an envelope stuffed full of money to help them. We see that as compassionate. And I thought, it's pretty good, isn't it? I thought, that's interesting. But you see, they're doing it, he's doing it because he wants to be compassionate. He wants to be compassionate. He wants to show kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. You know, as I read through this list, and I read, you know, things like bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Whoa. Think about that for a minute. If you want a life goal, if you want an Everest to climb, there it is. Think about that. Don't read that too quickly. Ponder that for a minute. You know, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Tell me that's not harder than climbing Mount Everest. What a goal. What a goal in life, to be the kind of person who is noted as a person of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. The word there is forbearing, which means that when others hurt you and insult you and say things against you, rather than let their bricks hit you in the head, you duck, you move, you let the bricks go. Some people catch the bricks and build a wall. I'm not going to let anyone hurt me. No one's going to get beyond this wall. That's what they do with their... But we're supposed to just let the bricks go. Don't build a wall with it. Don't let them hit you. And definitely don't throw them back. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. As I look at these, I think, Paul, ask me to do something big. This is like way too practical, Paul. Way too practical. Ask me to pray. Ask me to fast. Ask me to do something spiritual. Ask me to read 10 chapters of my Bible a day. I can do that. But not this people stuff. Way too practical. And as I think about Paul, probably the most spiritual man after Christ that we're presented with, a man who had visions of heaven, who says he wasn't sure if he was actually caught up into heaven or not, a man who met with the Lord and said that he met with the Lord as a man born out of season. Boy, this guy had spiritual experiences. But look at the stuff he's talking about to these Colossians. This is his closing thoughts. Come on, guys, you want to be really spiritual? You want to think the thoughts of heaven? You want to be heavenly minded? Then show compassion to one another. Those petty disputes you get all worked up about, those things that really gnarl you, let them go. Forgive. Don't let it get to you. Just let it go. Don't just forgive. Bless the ones that are hurting you. Show kindness toward them. Man, I want to highlight this approach by Paul. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, please. Here's some closing words. We've just read some of the closing words to the Colossians during one of Paul's imprisonments. This is believed to be his last epistle, 2 Timothy. These are his closing words. I mean, closing words. He died after this. He was beheaded. Now, I find this intriguing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Of all the things, you know, these are closing words from the great Apostle Paul. He could have dropped some gems. He could have given some absolute blinders of spiritual insight. He could have given us some diamonds of wisdom. Look what he says here. And let's see if we can actually see the diamonds of wisdom in what he's saying here. When I come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and the books, and above all the parchments. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and the books, and above all the parchments. Just ponder that for a minute. Here's Paul in a Roman holding cell. It's probably summer because he doesn't need his cloak. But winter's coming. In fact, he wrote to Timothy in another epistle and urged him to come before winter. And here he is in a Roman prison cell, a Roman holding cell, uncertain of what the future holds. He knows Timothy's going to come and visit. Timothy, when you come, bring my cloak. Timothy's probably going to make it just about as winter starts. Good grief, that's practical. Can you see what I'm saying here? Paul, the man of God, was able to think thoughts that were practical. He was able to think these grand visionary thoughts, heavenly thoughts. And in the same way, I don't think he was being earthly minded in the sense of not thinking thoughts of God when he said, boy, you know, winter's going to be here in a few months. I'm going to need my cloak. Bring my cloak. Bring the books. We're not told what the books are. Parchments. Bring the parchments. Bring the letters that people have written to me. Bring some of the copies of the letters that I've written to them, but bring some of these parchments, letters that people have written to me over the years. You know where they are, Timothy, the collection I've got of conversion stories, the letters that people have written to me, these parchments that people have written to me that have stirred my heart and encouraged me. Right now, Timothy, I'm in jail and I don't feel that encouraged. But if you read through 2 Timothy, you'll see all Paul wants to do is encourage Timothy, which I just love that about mature saints. They don't whinge and carry on and carp like I do. They look to encourage others. And here Paul is saying, here's a practical way, possibly, this is what he's saying, here's a practical way I could be encouraged right now. I just want to remember some of the good things. Bring the parchments. Bring my cloak. He was prepared to think of the future, which is being heavenly minded. He was prepared to think in very practical terms, which is also being heavenly minded. Now come back with me. Colossians chapter 3. Let's read how Paul sums up what he's just said. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Oh, wow. I want a bit of harmony in my life, let me tell you. I've got to have the love of God on me. Put on love. Now, I find this next verse intriguing because I don't know of a Christian who really would not like just to live in the peace of Christ. But look what he says. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know why? Because when you're being heavenly minded, when you're thinking of thoughts of revenge, when you're thinking thoughts of retaliation, when you're thinking thoughts of justifying your position, I don't have to ring them, they've got to ring me. When you're thinking those kind of thoughts, the peace of God can't fill your heart. Let the peace of God fill your heart. You ever given up, done the right thing, and then experienced the peace of Christ? I have. I hate confrontation. I hate having to go to someone and get things sorted out. I'd just much rather be an ostrich. But there are times when I go, no, I've got to do this. I've got to get this sorted out. Let's get it sorted out. We get it sorted out. And afterwards I go, oh, gee, that feels better. The peace of God. Let the peace of Christ. Let the peace of Christ. Let it rule in your hearts and be thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This whole thing of thankfulness, the whole thing of teach the word of God to each other. See how it says to do it through admonishing one another, through songs. We've been blessed tonight with the songs that we've sung and the song that's been sung to us. It's teaching us the word of God. I tell you, we need more songs written that will teach us the word of God. I admit, you know, sometimes occasionally I just think of those old corny songs I used to sing in church as a kid, and we were singing scripture. And occasionally they just come back to me. And I just think, boy, I remember that verse because of that corny song. We need a whole new wave of corny songs so that we can remember more of God's word. And be thankful. Be thankful. Well, one of the first times that I encountered somebody who really, truly believed this, because as A.W. Tozer said, most Christians don't lie, or most Christians don't tell lies, they just sing them. Was when I was in a church with a pastor who had just taken over, and the church had been disrupted because the previous pastor had fallen into sin, well, not fallen, dived, and had taken a whole lot of church resources, rebadged them and started his own church down the road. Such a shocking time for me. And I was outraged one day when I saw them at the local shopping centre with some of our literature. And they just put a sticker over it with their details. I was ticked off. I was angry. And I went to the new pastor, whose name was Bob, and I said, "Pastor Bob, look what they've done." And he goes, "Oh, look at that. Next time you see them, ask them if they'd like some more, because we'd really like to bless them." It was like getting slapped in the face with the truth. I thought, you're the first person I've ever met that actually took seriously what Jesus said about those who despitefully treat you. Because he said something about bless them or something. And here was a guy taking the word of God and admonishing me with it. Boy, I learned a lesson. I really learned a lesson then. I've got a few more to learn. And I want to finish up verse 17. And again, if we want to be heavenly minded, which we should be, we should want to think thoughts that are spiritual, heavenly thoughts. Boy, oh boy, here's another Everest for you. If you haven't got enough challenges, take verse 17. Tell me how you're doing with this one. I'll tell you how I'm doing with this one. Not so good yet. It says this, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That's my goal. I'm not there yet. I find that in everything I don't thank God. I find that when, you know, I'm down at the house, our house we're about to move into, and Tyrone's mowing, and I'm in the garage just tidying up a couple of things, and Tyrone says, "Dad, was the side glass of the van smashed when we arrived?" I said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "Well, it is now." And I'm thinking, "Ah, great." And you know, the last thing I feel like doing is going, "Thank God for a son. Thank God for a van. Thank God that I can breathe. Thank God." I'm just thinking, "Ah." "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus." And again, Paul says, "And give thanks." Give thanks. I shouldn't pick on my son. I could have used any one of my own self-inflicted injuries to similarly highlight this shortcoming in my life. You know, this reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all for the glory of God. Wow. You know, being heavenly minded doesn't mean that we so withdraw from the world that we can't do things in the name of Jesus that we just do ordinarily. It means that whatever we do ordinarily, when we wake up in the morning, when our wives say, do you mind picking up your socks? We give thanks for socks. Or your wife, you pick one or the other. We're thankful. And we pick them up. And we put them in the laundry basket or put them back on if you're that way hygienically inclined. We do it all for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. I want to live like this. I want to live heavenly minded. So let's just sum up what we've looked at. How do we renew our minds? First, I believe we've got to allow God. We've just read here, let the peace of God, let it. Give God permission. That's an awesome thought. But let the peace of God, let God renew your mind. How? Allow him. And I think at the very least that means, God, please come and change the way I think so that I'm changed as a person to the core of my soul. Pray that God will renew your mind. Secondly, we've read in this passage that it talks about let, verse 16, let, give permission to, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, to me, that means that we don't just read this, we heed this. You hear people talk about, and I recently heard someone say, you know, they left their church because they're only getting the milk of the word. Let me tell you, I cannot give you anything other than the word. What you do with it determines whether it's milk or meat. It's milk if you just hear it. It's meat if you are challenged to be changed by it. Hello. And as someone has said, if you merely rake the ground, you'll merely get leaves. But if you dig the ground, you may well get gold. And if you're merely raking the word of God daily, you're going to get leaves. And not a lot you can do with leaves. Make compost, ends up smelling. But dig. Let the water of God, that is the word of God, wash our minds. Let the word of Christ, it says, verse 16, dwell in you richly. Ponder it. Pray it. Read it and heed it. Thirdly, be led by the Holy Spirit's instruction. When the Holy Spirit puts his finger on you and says, you shouldn't have said that to your wife. You shouldn't have said that to your children. You shouldn't have spoken that way to your mother. You shouldn't have said that to your friend. You promised that you would do this for your colleague and you didn't. Listen to those things. Be led of the Spirit. I want to be a pastor of a church that's led by the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want us to be led by the Spirit. And man, we could have 27 manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit and go out in the car park and have fist fights. And I tell you, we're not spiritual if that's the case. And by the way, I've been meaning to cut down from 27 fist fights. Let's get that number. No, I'm kidding. But really being spiritual is very, very practical as we're reading here. Be led by the Holy Spirit's instruction. Then fourthly, this is this redemption part of the verse where it says in verse 7, in these two you once walked. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul describes a whole list of people that were sodomites, catamites, homosexuals, prostitutes. And he goes on, he says, and we know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's tough. But then he says this, and this is what you once used to be, but now you've been saved. Now you've been washed. Now you've been cleansed. It's a redemption verse. It's a verse that says you've changed. And you've changed. You've changed. You've changed because your mind is being renewed by the Holy Spirit. And I think we need to recognise that. Next time you're faced with a tough situation you think you won't get out of, remember, you've been getting out of them. You've already been getting out of them. Christ has been helping you out of sticky, tough situations to this point, and he won't stop. He will keep getting you out. Let's pray. Father, help us to be a people who are heavenly minded, who are able to think the thoughts of God, so that, Lord, we are able to put these things on that we've just read about tonight: compassion, kindness, humility, forbearance and patience. Help us to be the kind of people that are living more and more like Christ. Now, Father, there may be some within the sound of my voice, and for them life is too hard. Life is too tough for them. But right now I pray that they've heard a message of a God who can take them, clean them, save them and redeem them. And that no matter what situation you find yourself in now, you are just one prayer away from God's saving grace. One prayer away. Just one prayer that lets God do something in your life is that one prayer that can mean the difference between you staying in that situation you're in or your situation and you changing for eternity. So, Father, I pray, seal your word in the hearts of your people right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Developing a spiritual mind. Is there room for you to be more spiritually minded, to be of greater earthly good? We hope you've been challenged by tonight's discussion. You may want to return to the book of Colossians for another look. Dr. Corbett concludes this series of discussions next week. You can purchase a CD copy of tonight's program for $5.50, including postage and handling. Finding Truth Matters resources, including podcasts, are available from the website www.findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting Lagana Media at P.O. Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Just quote the program title, Developing a Spiritual Mind, Part 2. If you'd like to subscribe to Finding Truth Matters monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. Finding Truth Matters is produced by Lagana Media, and we look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.